Today is the 17th day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm Brian. Truly grateful to be here with you today. So here we are. This is the end of the second full week of our new year. And so here we are at the end of the week. And if you remember, back at the beginning of the week, we looked out over this week. It hadn't happened yet. Now, we've navigated to the end of it. Now, we have the opportunity to reflect back over it and look at ourselves. See not only what the scriptures may have spoken into our situations and lives, but also reflect on how our decisions and choices played out to tell the story of this week. And reviewing and reflecting and observing, like even just taking a few minutes and going, okay, what were the top five high moments of this week? And what were the circumstances that brought those to be? And really, what were the five lowest moments of this week? And what were the circumstances that brought those to be? And how did I navigate each of those? Did I make things worse than they had to be? Or had I pre-chosen? And yes, this was a difficult thing, but I walked through it in this way. When we can observe ourselves and catch ourselves, instead of like watching what everybody else does, actually become observant of ourselves, then we become self-aware. Our eyes are open to ourselves. And then we can navigate our own hearts, our own minds, our own postures. And then we can truly allow the scriptures inside to transform us. And so that's the practice that we will maintain all year. Is beginning brand new shiny sparkly weeks. And then reviewing how that week went. And the story that we told with our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And so take some time today to just reflect. Like I said, any way you want to look at it, but maybe the five high moments, the five low moments, just what are the circumstances? What was going on? What happened in our hearts in these moments? It's very, very enlightening and very, very helpful. But we are also here for a reason, and that is to take the next step forward on the grand journey that we have embarked on. And we're out there now. We're out in the deep, like we're too far to swim back. So we got to stay together. We got to navigate this year on this ship of the Bible and take the journey together. And I'm grateful for that. And so let's jump in back to the story of Jacob, whose name is now Israel, and his children, who are now the children of Israel. Genesis chapter 35 and 36. God said to Jacob, "Get up. Go to Bethel and live there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you ran away from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to everyone who was with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you. Clean yourselves and change your clothes. Then let's rise and go up to Bethel so that I can build an altar there to the God who answered me when I was in trouble and who has been with me wherever I've gone." So they gave Jacob all of the foreign gods they had, as well as the rings in their ears. And Jacob buried them under the terebinth at Shechem. When they set out, God made all of the surrounding cities fearful, so that they didn't pursue Jacob's sons. Jacob and all of the people with him arrived in Luz, otherwise known as Bethel, in the land of Canaan. He built an altar there and named the place El Bethel, because God had revealed himself to him there when he ran away from his brother, Rebecca's nurse, Deborah, died and was buried at Bethel under the oak, and Jacob named it Elan Bakut. God appeared to Jacob again while he was on his way back from Paddan Aram and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but your name will be Jacob no longer. Your name will be Israel." And he named him Israel. God said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Be fertile and multiply. A nation, even a large group of nations, will come from you. Kings will descend from your own children. The land I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I gave to you. And I will give the land to your descendants after you." Then God ascended, leaving him alone in the place where he spoke to him. So Jacob set up a sacred pillar, a stone pillar, at the place God spoke to him. He poured an offering of wine on it and then poured oil over it. Jacob named the place Bethel, where God spoke to him. They left Bethel, and when they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel went into hard labor. During her difficult labor, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, you have another son." As her life faded away, just before she died, she named him Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried near the road to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar on her grave. It's the pillar on Rachel's tomb that's still there today. Israel continued his trip and pitched his tent farther on, near the Tower of Eder. While Israel stayed in that place, Reuben went and slept with Bilhah, his father's secondary wife, and Israel heard about it. Jacob had 12 sons. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servant, were Gad and Asher. These were Jacob's sons born to him in Paddan Aram. Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, that is Kiriath Arba. This is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac lived as immigrants. At the age of 180 years, Isaac took his last breath and died. He was buried with his ancestors after a long, satisfying life. His sons Esau and Jacob buried him. These are the descendants of Esau, that is Edom. Esau married Canaanite women: Ada, the daughter of the Hittite Elon; Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, son of the Hittite Zibeon; and Basemath, the daughter of Ishmael and sister of Nebaioth. Ada gave birth to Eliphaz for Esau. Basemath gave birth to Reuel, and Oholibamah gave birth to Jush, Jalam, and Korah. These are Esau's sons born to him in the land of Canaan. Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and everyone in his household and his livestock, all of his animals and all of the property he had acquired in the land of Canaan, and he moved away from the land of Canaan and from his brother Jacob. They had so many possessions that they couldn't live together. The land where they lived as immigrants couldn't support all of their livestock. So Esau, that is Edom, lived in the mountains of Seir. These are the descendants of Esau, the ancestor of Edom, which lies in the mountains of Seir. These are the names of Edom's sons: Eliphaz, son of Esau's wife Ada, and Reuel, son of Esau's wife Basemath. Eliphaz's sons were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gitam, and Kenaz. Timnah was the secondary wife of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she gave birth to Amalek for Eliphaz. These are the sons of Esau's wife Ada. These are Ruel's sons, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Midzah. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Basemath. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Zibeon's son. She gave birth to Esau, Jush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the tribal chiefs from Esau's sons. The sons of Eliphaz, Esau's oldest son, Chief Timan, Chief Omar, Chief Zepho, Chief Kenaz, Chief Korah, Chief Gitam, and Chief Amalek. These are the tribal chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. They are Adah's sons. These are the sons of Ruel, Esau's son, Chief Nahath, Chief Zerah, Chief Shammah, and Chief Midzah. These are the tribal chiefs of Ruel in the land of Edom. They are the sons of Esau's wife, Basemath. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, Chief Jush, Chief Jalam, and Chief Korah. They are the tribal chiefs of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their tribal chiefs. These are the sons of Seir, the Horites, who live in the land. Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishon, Etzer, and Dishan. These are the Horite tribal chiefs, Seir's sons, in the land of Edom. Lotan's sons are Hori and Heman, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. These are Shobal's sons, Alvan, Manaat, Ebal, Shifo, and Onam. These are Zibeon's sons, Aya and Anah. Anah is the one who found water in the desert while pasturing his father Zibeon's donkeys. These are Anah's children, Dishon, and Anah's daughter Aholibamah. These are Dishon's sons, Hamdan, Eshban, Itran, and Kiran. These are Atzer's sons, Bilhan, Zeavan, and Achan. These are Dishan's sons, Uz and Aran. These are the Horite tribal chiefs, Chiefs Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Azer, and Dishan. These are the Horite tribal chiefs, listed according to their chiefs in the land of Seir. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom, before a king ruled over the Israelites. Bela, Beor's son, ruled in Edom. His city's name was Dinhabah. After Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah from Bozrah, became king. After Jobab died, Husham from the land of the Temanites became king. After Husham died, Hadad, Bedad's son, who defeated Midian in the countryside of Moab, became king. His city's name was Avith. After Hadad died, Samla from Masrekah became king. After Samla died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river became king. After Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, Achbor's son, became king. After Baal-Hanan, Achbor's son, died, Hadar became king. His city's name was Paul, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred and granddaughter of Mezahab. These are the names of Esau's tribal chiefs, according to their families, their locations, and their names. Chief Timnah, Chief Alva, Chief Jethet, Chief Aholibamah, Chief Elah, Chief Pinon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Timan, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magdiel, and Chief Iram. These are Edom's tribal chiefs according to their settlements and the land they possessed. This is Esau, the ancestor of the Edomites. Matthew 12:1-21. At that time, Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they were picking heads of wheat and eating them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath law." But he said to them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and those with him were hungry? He went into God's house and broke the law by eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple treat the Sabbath as any other day and are still innocent? But I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I want mercy and not sacrifice,' you wouldn't have condemned the innocent. The human one is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus left that place and went into their synagogue. A man with a withered hand was there. Wanting to bring charges against Jesus, they asked, "Does the law allow a person to heal on the Sabbath?" Jesus replied, "Who among you has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath and will not take hold of it and pull it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? So the law allows a person to do what is good on the Sabbath." Then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he did, and it was made healthy, just like the other one. The Pharisees went out and met in order to find a way to destroy Jesus. Jesus knew what they intended to do, so he went away from there. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them all. But he ordered them not to spread the word about him, so that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. "Look, my servant whom I chose, the one I love, in whom I find great pleasure. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he'll announce judgment to the Gentiles. He won't argue or shout, and nobody will hear his voice in the streets. He won't break a bent stalk, and he won't snuff out a smoldering wick until he makes justice win, and the Gentiles will put their hope in his name." Psalm 15, a Psalm of David. Who can live in your tent, Lord? Who can dwell on your holy mountain? The person who lives free of blame, does what is right, and speaks the truth sincerely, who does no damage with their talk, does no harm to a friend, doesn't insult a neighbor, someone who despises those who act wickedly, but who honors those who honor the Lord. Someone who keeps their promise even when it hurts. Someone who doesn't lend money with interest, who won't accept a bribe against any innocent person. Whoever does these things will never stumble. Proverbs 3:21-26. My son, don't let them slip from your eyes. Hold on to sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for your whole being and an ornament for your neck. Then you will walk safely on your path, and your foot won't stumble. If you lie down, you won't be terrified. When you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant. Don't fear sudden terror, are the ruin that comes to the wicked. The Lord will be your confidence. He will guard your feet from being snared. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this week that we have completed. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for the way that this week ends, at least in the scriptures, encouraging us to hold on to sound judgment and discretion, because they will bring life to our whole being, and we will walk safely on your path, and our feet won't stumble, and we won't lie down and be terrified in the night. Our sleep will be pleasant. Some of us need that deeply, and we pray for that. We won't have to fear sudden terror, right? The anxiety of all that is before us. You, Lord, will be our confidence. You will guard our feet from being snared. We won't fall into the traps if we have sound judgment and discretion. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Give us wisdom, sound judgment, and discretion. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base as well. And so either one gets you to home base. The app allows you to track your progress, see where we are in the grand scheme of things, take notes, a bunch of things. Brand new app is, I mean, I've been saying this for a long time. You have no idea how intense it's been to try to rebuild from the ground up, but brand new home base is coming soon. But being connected to home base now will allow you to update and keep your progress. The app allows you to kind of do a lot of things as we take this journey, so be sure to check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and given freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around this rhythm, the rhythm of showing up every day and allowing the Bible to speak for itself and do what it does, transform us. If that is life-giving, if that is a meaningful thing in your life, then thank you for keeping the global campfire burning. Thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, we are a community that prays. We are a community that has been safe. We are a community that kind of understands that we're in this together and we're all struggling. And all we can do is hold each other up through prayer and encouragement. So if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Valerie in Greenville, South Carolina. And this message is for the woman at the well. I just heard your recording. And I was so impressed by what you said. I thought it was really beautiful. You know, a lot of times when you hear somebody say, I've been listening for 20 years and I've never missed a day, you think they're about to come out with something just really self-righteous and judgy. And then you come out with, look, I've done this and I've done this. And I thought what you said was just so real and down to earth. And that's what I love about this community, is it is so honest and easy to live up to. So I want to thank you for what you said, that it's so real. I just really thought it was beautiful that you're such a real person and willing to be vulnerable and put yourself out there. So Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to give my sister an extra blessing for her honesty and transparency in being real about who she is and willing to share herself as a person and encourage other people, new people, in Jesus' name.
Hello, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just listened to the January 3rd podcast, and there was a mama that called in about her son. And I just wanted to lift her son and her family up to God's throne of mercy and grace. Heavenly Father, our majestic, awesome, awesome God, hallowed be your name, Heavenly Father. We know that you are sovereign. We know that you are in control. And we know that you are good. Always, always, always good. We know that nothing surprises you. We know that everything is according to your will. But Heavenly Father, this family is going through it right now, Heavenly Father. And I'm so sorry, ma'am, that I don't remember the name that you said or handle that you said that you went by. But she called in with just, I could feel the hurt and the angst and the worry in her voice and in her heart, Heavenly Father, of the situation that her son moved out 5 weeks, didn't graduate from high school, to live with his girlfriend's family, came back home, but there was just so much strife and turmoil. Heavenly Father, there was a huge argument that broke out, resulted in asking him to leave, outbursts of anger, holes punched in walls. Heavenly Father, I pray your peace, your immense peace, come over this family, every single member of the family, including the son, your peace that goes beyond all understanding. Heavenly Father, I pray for a divine intervention, a divine touch by you for her son, that he knows that he is your son, that he was created in your image, that he is a beautiful son of Jesus and was purchased by his blood. Heavenly Father, I pray that in that touch that he knows that he's created for different, for more, Heavenly Father, and that you love him dearly and that he just needs to come back home to you and his family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hi, this is Sherry Williams. I called in on Christmas Eve for prayer. My husband had just passed away 8 weeks before, and I wanted to say thank you to everyone who prayed for me, and thank you to JC in Texas, Sean in the UK, Eyes of a Dove, Danny in St. Petersburg, Amy from Oregon, KSD, Susan from Canada, Candace from Oregon, and Sherry from Kingston, Texas. Thank you for calling in a prayer. You have no idea how much those prayers mean to me. I was sorry to hear that some of you had also lost a spouse. It's been the hardest thing in the world. We didn't have any children, and there's no living relatives to speak of. Everyone's gone home to be with the Lord, so I'm the only one left here. I miss him so much, and I know I'll see him again, but the separation's been unbearable. But thank you for your words of encouragement and your love. They are appreciated more than you know. And I've been trying to rely on God, and I'm so grateful for the Campfire family. I love you all. Thank you again. Bye.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Wetumpka with the Trinity Stone. I wanted to put a thing out there. I heard a caller the other day, her name was New Eyes from Chattanooga. She was mentioning, I guess she was a listener, but she was mentioning to new listeners that were coming on to listen out for Brian at the end, what he states at the end about I love you, because not a lot of people hear that. You don't hear I love you from anybody. I mean, anyone, really. No, nobody says that anymore. I don't know why. But one other thing I was going to talk about was right after that statement, he turns around and says, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow, which totally is security. Number one is security because you're like, wow, he's going to be there tomorrow reading the Bible again. So I can plug back in tomorrow and listen. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program. Like I said, I love it. Those two statements are probably what pulled me in, actually, to listen to it because, like I said, not a lot of people hear. You don't hear I love you. And and the other thing is I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow. So it's an awesome, awesome program. Like Brian said, give it 30 days. Or give it a year. And if you're looking at the same person at the end of the year, you will be looking at a different person at the end of the year for sure. It's an awesome, awesome program, like I said. So, but anyway, I just wanted to put that out there to everybody. And I love you guys and talk to y'all later. Bye for now.